Good afternoon and welcome to a specially scheduled meeting of the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District, August 6, 2009, at 2 o'clock. And I'd like to call the meeting to order. Roll call, Andrea.
Member Biagini? Member Candela? Member Casola?
Here.
Member Hawkes?
Here.
Member Seymour?
Here.
Chair Solu?
Present.
And Member Mendoza has let us know that he will not be attending this afternoon.
Okay, great. With that, on a special meeting, I open up for public comment, and any members of the audience wishing to come forward at this time and speak at public comment, you will have 3 minutes to speak. Seeing no one step forward, I'll go ahead and close opportunity for public comment. And we will move to item A on the agenda, which is the discussion of the budget for the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District. And at this point, I will turn it over to John Sorgenfrey for a presentation from his agency.
Thank you. What I wanted to try to do today is just kind of give everybody a recap for the board. We did meet. You formed, as you recall, a budget subcommittee, and we actually met twice. First time was to kind of go over the preliminary budget, which everyone had seen, and then I took those comments back and tried to refine the budget, taking into consideration some of the things that the board had talked about relative to the budget as well as what the subcommittee wanted. And what I was hoping to do today is I want to talk about certainly about the budget, the spreadsheet that you have before you. I'll go through that. Obviously, the budget subcommittee can certainly give their input too, as this was helped to be crafted by them. And then also what I wanted to do is give you a little bit of an overview on the PR plan and also the website, which is, again, a big integral part of the budget. And with me today is Jeremy, and Jeremy is with Elements, and his company has worked with the City of Morro Bay for some time. His company currently manages the sort of the technical side of the current website that we have, morrobay.org. So his company basically is more of the technology side of the company, the statistics, the software, and then in addition to that, we have a designer, which I'll give you his background, who does more of the implementing the art and more of the design work. So we have kind of the technical side, the design side, and then the management side, which is myself and my company. And that's pretty much how the website works. But I'll go into that in just a little bit more detail in a moment. I first wanted to give you a couple of updates as it does relate to the budget and facilitating the advertising. Seeing the need of what we wanted to really do with this new effort, I've contracted out a couple of new employees that will be working on the City of Morro Bay's account and the BID account, as well as the promotions committee. I hired a new copywriter, and I just want to give you just a very brief background on him. His name is Ismail Ford, and he most recently worked at Chiat Day in Los Angeles. I've worked with him in the past on various projects. He, when he was at Chiat, worked on Infiniti and Nissan and Visa, and also he worked for Muse Communications prior to that, and also worked for Danny Deutsch, Deutsch Advertising, back in New York, where he worked on DirecTV, Chevy. He's also worked on a variety of other tourism and hotel-related properties. He's won a couple building awards, which is the equivalent of the Academy Awards for advertising, and also one club Creative Showcase Award, also Ballpoint Beanie Award, which are more on the writing side. And basically, what I'd like to do at our next meeting, Children's Museum, she also worked as marketing director for DenMat, so she's got some marketing experience, which is a big dental firm in Santa Maria, and also worked at Horizon Communications, a PR firm in Pismo Beach. So she's going to be assisting me on facilitating the plan that you have before you, which we'll go through in a moment. Basically, she's going to be involved in promoting our events, doing press releases, also doing fam trips where we get travel writers to come in specifically, and basically working on, again, facilitating that plan with me overseeing that and managing it, and also my staff helping as well.
John, I'm sorry, could you say her name again?
It's Lynn Latronica. And actually, I think on the back of your proposal, I think that her name may be stated there, I believe. And I did check with Johnny, and Johnny said that she had worked really well with her, so we have her endorsement, which is good. And then in talking about continuing on with the staff, let me talk a little bit about the website. And as I said, Jeremy's here, and he can answer any questions that you might have. Again, I was looking that we'd have more of a detailed presentation on the website on the 20th, if you just so desire. But basically, as I mentioned, Jeremy's company is Elements. It's a local firm in San Luis Obispo. It has 10 employees. And they're basically from conception to strategy to design and implementation of various websites. They have worked on several tourism accounts. One is visitslo.com, also the San Luis Obispo Chamber site, San Luis Obispo Home Show, San Luis Symphony, San Luis Obispo County Parks, the Santa Maria Chamber, also for nonprofits, the Clark Center, KCBX, San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, and has also worked on various wineries throughout the county as well. And as I mentioned, Jeremy has been the kind of the driving force of the technology side of our website for a number of years. Assisting him and an employee of TJA is Stuart Himmelholden, and he has Stuart started his work with Web Associates, which is now Level Marketing. He's one of the founding members of Web Associates. And at Web Associates, he worked on Apple Computer, Hewlett-Packard, Lucid Technology, other high-tech companies from 1997 through 2003. Left Web Associates to do his own freelance, and he's been working with me since. And Stuart, again, is more on the side of the site design and more on the art and those aspects, where Jeremy, again, is more on the technical side. Well, Stuart's also very familiar with the social media, which, of course, is Facebook, Flickr, YouTube, all those types of things. And we're just now, through the city's budget, putting Flickr and we created a Facebook for Morro Bay. So that stuff's just now becoming a reality. And, again, I think we'll talk more about the website as we get into it. But, basically, we're sort of approaching this as kind of a new redesign. And how we'll do that is in a five-phase program. We'll start with a discovery phase, which is basically just a series of meetings that we'll talk about what our goals and objectives are for the site. Have a design phase, and all this, of course, is built offline. It's never live till we turn it on. Then a development phase, where we talk about the architecture of the site and establishing all the pages, basically how the website's going to flow. And then, of course, our go-live phase, which would be getting the website pointed in the right direction all the way up to the optimization. And then, of course, the fifth phase is the maintenance and support phase. And what I would suggest, and again, maybe you can consider this today, is you might, just as you formed a budget subcommittee, you might want to think about forming a subcommittee for the website, because I think there's going to be a lot of work involved, and that probably would facilitate itself better. And then, again, the board would have the final say, but the website subcommittee could work with myself, Jeremy, and my team, and bring this forward. Just to give you an idea, and again, I don't want to get too into detail because I know we got to talk pretty consistently about the budget, but as far as website upgrades, which, again, would involve the budget, we're looking at the new design work throughout the site. Interactive map, which would be where you could explore the town of Morro Bay. This would be generated through Google Maps and other programs. Virtual tours throughout the town, so like you could actually put somebody in a kayak and have them get a virtual tour of the bay. We want to produce more virtual tours, as I said, expand the photo and video gallery, which is currently underway right now. Expand the build a trip feature, create more links, and work on the rich media, which would give us greater optimization. Also, we've talked about getting a booking agent, a reservation booking agent on the homepage, and for those who aren't aware, I guess it might have been just the budget subcommittee that saw my email. I'm going to have the representative for Jackrabbit here on the 20th, and he's going to be a part of your agenda.
Statistics package, Urchin, which is Google Analytics. It's just what needs to be filtered and refined to an executive summary form.
Okay.
And I'll send you a format I've used, and you can see if you can dupe it.
Okay.
We don't need that much, just more than what I've seen so far.
Okay. Jeremy, did you have anything you wanted just briefly to add?
The web can be a big and vague word. If anybody has anything specific they want to ask me about, you know, when John says he puts a team together, he really means it. We work with over 300 clients, and there are several agencies. Everybody has an agency they work with, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for what John has done here, putting the team together he has. I mean, I feel the Morro Bay website is doing great. The statistics show it, and I'm always impressed in coming to meetings the creativity and the ideas that come out of John. And then what he's able to do with the people he's brought together through Stu and copywriters and ourselves on the technical side is we can always make it happen because the right people are there at the table who can actually turn around and execute. So but on the website, the website itself, we've actually been working. It's possible. I know it's 6, possibly 7 years now the Morro Bay website has actually lived in our software called Elements. It's a content management system. It also provides all the database functionality behind the members who are on it and that you search against. And every time John comes up with a good idea, like the photo gallery and now the Google Maps, you know, we have the engineers and the staff to actually make that kind of stuff happen. So.
Is there an opt-in portion on the website? I don't remember it exactly. If there's an opt-in...
There's an opt-in right now. We build the list that we email to.
Right.
So, and that's
okay.
Another facet of pulling reports is we can probably get deeper into. We actually just upgraded our software and we can pull reports now on the emails that go out. Is that me? No. And we can pull reports now on how many emails went out, how many people actually got those emails, how many clicked through. What links they clicked on. So I think we'll be working close with John to really provide deeper statistics, but also we can certainly provide a dashboard or an executive view of that, those statistics, so you can see everything in a snapshot. And if you want to go deeper, we can provide that too.
We have a database of about 7,000. And what we've done recently is to try to grow that list. And that's basically been generated by people going to the website. There's a email newsletter sign-up sheet, and so that's been generated just from people opting in. But what we're doing now is working with Peter's group, and when people send their email requests for information, we're just automatically putting them on the database now. So that's going to make that list grow pretty substantially. And they have the opportunity, if they get the newsletter the first time and they don't want it, even though they didn't request it, they can always opt out.
Well, in social media, there are great strategies to put in place to try to leverage all this social media activity and get them to join your list as well, actually opt in. Because as you know, with the social media, we'll be exposing ourselves to these social media sites, which have thousands, if not millions of people on them looking for the content that you provide. So we'll build strategies for how to get them to convert over and not only visit the site, but also join the site so that we can then have their name and email them when we want.
So I thought what we could do in our next meeting is we don't have to spend a great deal of time on it, but maybe just go through the site and talk about it.
I think that some of us are interested in what how the site works on the back side. I mean, you know, we can go into the site from the front side, but how the site works on the back side, what kind of reports it generates, who has access to the reports, how we would gain access to certain reports without breaking confidentiality of some of our colleagues. Those are going to be important questions for you to consider for your presentation, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, we can actually, the software itself that sits behind the website is pretty sophisticated. It has a user management system that can allow people access,
But I think what you're suggesting is a good idea, which is we can actually build a simple standalone little portal where you just simply log in and you get access to this dashboard, and if you want to drill down into further statistics. So we could certainly provide that, and that would kind of that would open up some real-time reporting that anybody could go to and manage and actually look at themselves, and that's definitely something we've done and we can do.
I mean, what we could also, if we wanted to get even, since this is all lodging-based, I mean, we can get to where we have reports of exactly how many people, how many lodging partners came from.
The hotels highlighted because that was the whole purpose of, you know, getting more advertising, getting more exposure, getting it forward. So if you can come up with, come up with an answer to that question, that would be great.
I think we're working on that, and I think that certainly – however it ends up working, that Jeremy and I and the rest of our team have got the fact that we want to make the site very lodging friendly. If we make it lodging friendly, not to say that it's not now, but make it more lodging friendly, one being, say, maybe a booking reservation agent, you know, ability right on the homepage, those kinds of things, because if we do that, we're facilitating what the stakeholders, but we're also building TOT for the city, and ultimately I think we're all there. I mean, that's what we want. So I can assure you that as we design this site, we're going to be looking at it being very lodging-oriented and how we're going to get more overnight stays. And all your help is necessary in that, too, because you know your industry and you can help guide us as well.
So the booking engine will be exclusively Morro Bay hotels and not necessarily all those that are chamber members, correct?
Right.
So you're referring to the Jackrabbit system?
Uh-huh.
Is it true that the Visitors Conference Bureau has discontinued that?
Not that I'm aware of. I spoke to them a couple of weeks ago, and they were happy with it.
Really? Because when I went to pay my dues or whatever, they said they wouldn't be having it anymore.
Hmm. Well, I know that they changed the compensation, because I think the chamber, the Slo County Visitor Center was actually making some revenue from that, and I know they changed that. But I talked to Dave Kasner just because I wanted to kind of get some feedback from him on how it was working. And he didn't give me any indication that had been taken away. And I talked to the rep just recently to set up this appointment. And I know the city of San Luis Obispo is signing a deal with them as well.
Well, maybe I'm not clear on what Jackrabbit is, but I think they told me that they were directly going to refer to the websites of the hotels rather than another additional booking engine.
Right. Well, actually, that's good clarification, because that's what we're proposing for here. So they still probably have Jackrabbit, but maybe what they did change was I've always been had the understanding from the hoteliers they would prefer to do the transaction on their site.
Yes.
So that's what I'm recommending. So okay. I don't know if they used to do that with the county, but that's not what I'm recommending. What this system would do, and the one that I looked at. And you've seen them. I mean, the Santa Barbara has one, Monterey has one, Ventura, Oxnard. You want to come, say, August 26th or the 28th. You put in your dates, and then a whole list of the hotels that have availability during that time will appear. You click on that hotel, then you go to their site to make the transaction. So they're not booking. They're not exchanging dollars, Jackrabbit. It's basically a tool to let people know what is available. Then they make the choice to go to the hotel website and do the transaction, or even call them. And that was some discussion we had. You know, what about some really small properties? How do we be fair? Jackrabbit could even list the phone number. You know, they could still appear as having vacancies, although that could be problematic on how we know whether they have availability or not. But it's designed to where they will go do the transaction on the individual site.
But I think there were some interface problems between Jackrabbit and some of these booking agents that the hotels have already set up.
For clarification, Slo VCB just had it was like a month ago, you went to a meeting, and they did. What it is it used to be you had to pay per click. So you had to sign up through Jackrabbit, and they paid per click. So say, you know, Jones Days Inn participated, but we didn't. She would be shown on Jackrabbit, and we weren't shown. Now the VCB, everybody's shown, but it's exactly what John's saying. It goes directly to your website. So it's booked now. It's Jackrabbit's system, but it's not the pay-per-click. So that's the change that was made about a month and a half ago, and that's probably what they're talking about.
And I assure you that the first thing, not to – demean the gentleman that's going to be here on the 20th, but he's a salesman, so the first thing he wanted to do was have us do a pay-per-click, because that's how they make money. And I told him that, and I was aware already that you can do a fixed cost, too, from the county. I said, I don't think there's any way we would agree to that. We want to know what we're going to be paying. We don't want to do a pay-per-click. And then he agreed that they can do that as well. So I think maybe we've learned from some of their mistakes, hopefully, so we won't do those things. But, no, the one that I would recommend would be a fixed cost, not pay-per-click, and the transaction would take them to the website, which, again, hopefully will build traffic to the individual properties' sites as well.
It doesn't sound very complicated. It's just a referral from – does that sound very complicated to you?
The fact that we're going to embed the JackRabbit software on the website so that you can actually do the search on the Morro Bay website, and then it's actually going to pull up results still on the Morro Bay website, but then when you want to actually choose that hotel, you leave the website. So, none of that's really that little function, which they've gone out and integrated to all the booking engines, and they aggregate that all on your website, and they give you control to manage that in some way. You know, John understands the software itself better than I do, and we can learn more about it on the 20th. But it's just like any hosted service, right? I mean, they have a software that they run online, and we're going to leverage a piece of it on our website.
I mean, they tap into every hotel to find out who's got availability. I mean, that's one.
It's instant. So it's like if you check it now and then you check it in an hour, it might be different. Maybe somebody's booked that room. So as your inventory is going,
it changes. Oh, sorry. Thank you. It changes.
It goes into your property management system, or it goes into GDS, or
whatever.
Which one?
Well, your property management system would be tied to GDS. Should be tied into GDS.
So that's what JackRabbit's really doing, is they're actually providing the handshake between your website and every other hotel out there.
Right.
And that's really the service.
Well, and again, I will have him here on the 20th, and it's not a company that I've worked with in previous. I did do some research. The reason I suggested them was because that there were some local entities using them, so I think it's up for discussion. But I think it would be something to look at, again, to enhance the lodging, you know, the stakeholders. I think this will help create an easier way for people to find out what's available. And it's making us competitive, because it's not just the big destinations that have it. It's Oxnard, it's Ventura. They all seem to, all the websites that I went to have this right on their homepage, the ability to make a reservation.
Well, the good thing about this is that it's been done before. That's also the bad thing, because that means we're behind a little. But that puts us into the position of being able to see everybody else's errors and move forward on them. I know that
we just didn't have the money before.
Right, understood. I know that when you look at like the VCB and the booking, a lot of hotels throw their rate up immediately for that weekend or whatever it is right away, like 169, 289, whatever their rate is for, you know, let's say 4th of July weekend. And a lot of them say call for availability, call for best rate. So you can, you know, put your own sales pitch on there. It doesn't necessarily have to be a figure to drive people to your site or to your hotel. So,
okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Look forward to seeing you.
So I just wanted to talk very briefly about the PR, and then we'll get into the spreadsheet. Is that okay? Basically, before you have this PR plan, and it's, again, it's more detailed, but it certainly will become more detailed as we move along. But I mentioned the person that would be helping me facilitate this. And as an introduction, basically what we want to do is to position Morro Bay as a premier destination for various niche markets, which, of course, would be bird watching, photographers, baby boomers, nostalgia seekers, families and seniors, outdoor enthusiasts, food and wine lovers, budget-minded travelers, travelers seeking restful, relaxing vacations. And part of this is that we would, of course, be sending our information to various print publications, but where we see the real value is going on a lot of these niche websites, because, and we talked about this in the budget subcommittee, where you can go to Coastal Living or Sunset. You know, they have a staff of writers. They're not really in great need of new editorial. They have a whole staff to do that. But if you go on like a Sea Kayaker website, or if you go on, you know, some amateur photography websites, although those are visited by people interested in those subjects, they're always looking for new content. So we have a whole new array of ways to expose Morro Bay, and that's one of the efforts that we want to do as far as not only the print media, but also hitting it interactively. We have a press kit, which I'll bring at our 20th meeting. That'll be part of kind of the creative review. The good news is those press kits have already been paid for by the promotions committee, and they're very good, and they would facilitate what we would do in sending out kind of a mass mailing to key targeted publications. But in those press kits is an introductory letter, a comprehensive list of story ideas, suggestions for them that they might want to pursue. This, again, is going directly to the travel writers, and we have a media list of over 100 that have all the names of all the different editors, writers, the people that we need to communicate with. There, our promotional DVD is included in that, current press releases, annual event calendar, so all the events that are happening and the dates. Our destination guide, which, again, we can bring that forward. We're sort of running out of those from a fulfillment standpoint, but we've held some of those back to be able to include in the press kits. And also on the website, in addition, we're going to be, as part of the new web design, increasing our exposure to travel writers on the website. I've found that a lot of writers now just want to be able to go to a website, download photographs. They really don't want a press release. They don't want to talk to you. They just want to go to their section. And we want to make that very available for them. So we would be working on getting high-resolution photographs that have that are not right protected that they can utilize. The photo archive, again, a lot of the things that were going to be in the press kit would be available for them. The person, normally they'll say, well, advertising and editorial are separate. Well, they specifically said, however many ads you give us is how much editorial you'll get. So a lot of publications are switching for a kind of pay-per-play type of thing. So obviously the publications that we have a schedule with will be on them to give us a lot of information. The media outreach, again, this is really the key, promoting Morro Bay as a premier destination. And really, PR is about one thing in particular, and that's just persistence. So we'll be very persistent in getting these stories placed. Some of the primary media targets are the health and fitness category, family and parenting, food, and then obviously travel and Western U.S. publications. We'll target some national publications, but the most effort we'll target would be predominantly California. And sports and sport niche publications such as Kayaker, a lot of photography. We believe that we've got a real good story to tell there. And then the news on the national level. And then year-round press releases. And then also just the support, all the various events that we have in the town. And I think Peter will attest to this. I mean, when we have the tall ships come in and we're not getting the attendance, you know, we can get on the phone and we can get some stories placed, especially with people over in Bakersfield, Fresno, trying to get those events populated so people continue to come and do those. And we've got some new events like the Photography Festival. Part of the PR effort will be in promoting those and letting people be aware of those. And I mentioned Lynn's background, and then at the very last page, it's just a very rough breakdown of how the hours might be separated out. But we would look at doing 11 press releases. The media list management, as I spoke about, we're in the process of updating all of those now and also including the special niche websites that I spoke about. The event calendar, promotions, press outreach, getting those event calendars, say, like in Westways and via that print calendars of different destinations. And then the writer trips, which we look at being a major effort, and then two major stories a year placed in national publications, and then just any hard costs that would be associated, which would probably be mailing, printing, that type of thing. And those are really just estimates, but the budget subcommittee wanted a little bit more for the board, you know, to see kind of a little more detail and who would be facilitating the PR. So that was really, this is an answer to that.
John, I do have a question on the mechanics of the actual mm-hmm. press releases. Is she using any sort of database, or where is the contact coming from?
It's we have a database in our office that we utilize.
And is it one you buy, or is it something you build?
No, we actually build it.
Okay.
And we build it the old-fashioned way by literally just going on the Internet, calling the people, making sure that these editors are still there.
Yeah, because it's a pretty dynamic group.
Right.
They come
right.
in and out. And
exactly. Yeah, so that
most publications now are using freelance, and they don't
right.
necessarily even work for them.
Yeah, in some cases, I mean, we'll there are some of these larger publications, we might have four or five different contacts that we would send the material to, because you can send it to the executive editor, but then you also need to send it to a staff writer. You need to send it to whoever is writing a story about that particular environment. So it's a list that's very detailed.
Have you ever used a PR database company that manages those lists?
No. Would you like for me to move on to the spreadsheet? Okay. Just again, before we go into the real detail, I'll just give you an overview of how the work with the budget subcommittee. We made a lot of good progress, I think. Had a lot of good ideas. And one of the things that we took from the board was to make a much larger contingency fund. And I think that was an excellent idea for two reasons. One, since this is sort of new and evolving, we want to have a large amount of money that we can set aside for special deals. So, in other words, if Sunset Magazine calls and they said we had an advertiser fall out, we can give you this ad at half the price. We have some money that we can that's not accounted for that we can utilize. But also it's to protect ourselves because we don't really know what the world will bring with this since it's brand new. So we're, for the benefit of to be prudent, we're going to have this money set aside. How it will work and how I've normally worked is when we have these meetings, I'll come before you with ideas, proposals that I get from the media that I've kind of gone through and judged that it would be appropriate for you to hear it. And then you decide whether we want to do something like that. So it's really kind of the category is really out there just to be utilized as we go along throughout the year. We eliminated the radio remotes. The feeling was that that the city budget could probably facilitate these better, and we do have money for the radio remotes. And just I won't go into great detail on those, but that's where we actually have the radio station come here, broadcast live to their audience far away, either in Ventura, Thousand Oaks, Bakersfield, whatever it might be. And the feeling was, does this really support the lodging industry, whereas the remotes really kind of benefit all the businesses? You know, we can't cover all of the Bay Area, and if we're going to pick one area of the north, we thought San Jose would be an appropriate one because it's a little closer. It's very affluent. And that's going to be predominantly with email newsletters where people are reading the San Jose Mercury News on their website. And these are emails that we can send to them, very targeted, very trackable. We added a portion for the LA Times travel page where we can we'll sponsor some of their travel blogs and also run some banner advertising on those. We put less money into Sunset Magazine. We added more into Coastal Living we didn't have so many eggs in one basket with Sunset, and that kind of came from some of the discussion of the board as well. As you saw, a little more detailed plan of the PR and the website and who is facilitating that for you. And then other areas to look at, possibly using the contingency funds. So these were just some thoughts of things that I would suggest and some of the board thought was a good idea. There's a publication called 805 Living, which hits the Thousand Oaks, Calabasas area. We've been in that before. I think that's a really good market to target. It's a drivable market. It's affluent. LA Magazine, which is produced by the Los Angeles Times. SkyWest Magazine is another possibility. You know, we think we could target Arizona. The only thing with Arizona is when it's hot there is when we're busy, but I think at the fringe of when it's hot, like June, before we get the crowds, and probably like as we approach back to school in August, it might be good to try to hit that market. And also that market also facilitates us with Los Angeles as well. And then this was one thought that we had in our last meeting just yesterday. We talked about Michelle, maybe you might want to talk a little bit about this too. We thought it would be interesting to try one market that we really hadn't delved into, and what market would that be? And we talked about, you know, just kind of threw out all these different ideas like Tahoe for one, and we kind of came down to one that we thought would be really interesting, which is San Diego. And we did run some ads some time ago, quite some time ago in San Diego. We ran cable advertising, and it was actually a local news show. It wasn't just like running, you know, on CNN and buying spots. It was actually a local news program, and we got really good response. And then Michelle had some data. Michelle, maybe you might want to share that. You kind of looked at who's coming in and had quite a few from San Diego.
I took basically the top 30 zip codes and just ran in my property management system, and I ran different time periods, you know, 1 month at a time, and the last year, the last month, and San Diego kept coming up in the top like five. And I thought that was really interesting. It was actually shocking to me because we all know Bakersfield, Fresno, San Jose, but San Diego was up there too. And I thought, I brought that to John's attention and thought, you know, we might be something we consider. And sure enough, ironically today, we all know, but I covered a desk for 5 minutes. I booked a reservation for 2 rooms to Indio. And Indio is right outside of the Palm Springs area. But I knew it's far, and I kind of thought San Diego might be too far for us to go, but I think it's something we might want to consider because it is coming up on statistics. And I'm sure a lot of us that have a property management system can run some of these real quick reports, and it might be something we want to look at, you know, having other properties run some of these reports to see where are people coming from. If we're already getting some people coming from there, why not put some money into there and get twice as many people? Oh, sorry.
I also want to say that in addition to that, we talked about doing a survey to go out to all the hotels about where your top 3, 4, and 5 market segments are coming from so that we can look at what all the hoteliers have to say. And again, these are quick reports that some of us can run on our systems, but some of us, you know, are still on hand ledgers. They would have to go back and look. But we talked about doing that in order to open up to a new market to focus and bring some new fresh faces.
And if I could just add, one of the things we talked about that I failed to mention, and this would really be more of kind of an internal communication, but we thought it would be really good to have at least a quarterly newsletter that would go out to all the hoteliers to let them know what we're doing, the types of things that we're doing, for two reasons. One, they're the stakeholders and they're supplying this, so they know where their dollars are going, but also giving them the opportunity, those who do have an advertising budget, they can sort of leapfrog onto some of the things that we're doing, possibly get a better rate, or if we're in Sunset and they want to run a smaller ad to support the destination ad, then they would be able to do that. So we want to make it very open and communicate with them and ask for their feedback throughout this whole process. So I think that we're probably in the midst of doing that first newsletter pretty quickly, and part of that would be trying to get some survey information as far as where people are actually coming. And some of it's pretty obvious. I mean, when you looked at Michelle's, between Fresno and Bakersfield, it was pretty substantial. But there were some hidden gems in there that might be interesting to try to go after.
And can the web statistics give us a idea of where the search is coming from geographically? I know some other – I've seen statistics on that before.
There's some availability with that.
You have to go up to the microphone.
There's some availability with that.
Experimented with some of that with our hotel being a new one and have had pretty horrible results. I don't really feel like print advertising is – it's very expensive and doesn't seem – you don't really get any way of knowing whether you really get anything out of it.
Well, I think you're right in some ways, but the print that we've selected is very selective. I mean, we're – if you look at this budget collectively, you know, we're not having a whole lot of money into print, but Sunset Magazine does work, and we've been in it for a number of years, and we track it, and Peter will attest to this. Travel 50 and Beyond does work. These are the print publications. We didn't go too far off of experimental stage on these. These are ones that we've worked with before. I mean, if you look at somebody like Westways Magazine, you know, it is expensive, but it's got a circulation of over 3 million people.
But how do you know? I mean, how do you know whether you're really getting results from it or not?
Well, Sunset Magazine has a bingo card, so they do get responses from Sunset. People circle the request, so it comes directly from that publication. But I will tell you that a lot of it does come from the website because we're encouraging people to go to the website. We're getting less 800 number calls, less bingo cards because people know that they can just go to the website to facilitate it. Mm-hmm. But there's a reason why Monterey, San Diego, you know, all those people who have tourism destinations are in a place like Sunset. The other thing with Sunset and Westways is we're not targeting a national publication. We're targeting those people in Southern California, in some cases Northern California, that can drive here. Because I would agree with you, if we ran in Travel and Leisure and tried to go on a national scale, I don't think anybody from Ohio is necessarily going to get on a plane and come here as a result of seeing that ad that costs $20,000. All the print that's here is either directed right toward our target of Southern California or Northern California or the West Coast. And I completely agree. I've looked at some of those publications that have huge circulations, but then when you go down and you look at how many are actually in California, it's diminishing returns. So what we tried to do with the selection of the print that you see here are ones that we know that work, that's highly targeted. And we also are supporting this print with quite a bit of interactive, a lot of, as you see from the budget here, a lot of web work.
Yeah, I think if you're trying to build brand awareness as opposed to, you know, you have to commit to a certain budget on. So if you're doing one-off ads, they're probably less effective than a $160,000 program when you add in the web links to it. It'll get it to the destination. It'll get traffic to the destination. Whether they book or not, it just depends on how compelling the destination is, I think.
Well, it's kind of funny. The calls that we actually got off the magazine stuff we did, we got calls from people who don't have the Internet. They ask questions.
That does make sense, actually. But the ads and the whole thing is geared towards trafficking towards the website, and that's very trackable on – well, it's going to be very trackable on our end, too, especially if we get a booking agent up. After running an ad, you should see substantially increased traffic to that website. I mean, knock on wood, right?
So when they go, there's a box or something that says what referred them to that website?
I'm not sure, but I guess that could be something that could be put in there and answered by Jeremy.
Yeah, we can put we can build what are called landing pages, and we can actually build that into the executive overview of statistics as to if we put an ad out in a particular magazine, we can actually use a very specific domain name that we only know went into that magazine, and then we can actually draw statistics on just that, and that's called the landing page.
I would have to say I don't think that's a good idea, though, because you want repetition, and you want people to know morobay.org, morobay.org. You want them to always see morobay.org. If you see morobay.org/sunset, somebody's going to see that, and we have to be careful with doing landing pages. I don't think that's really a way we're going to want to go, because the thing is really wanting to push morobay.org and getting them to our website.
I think also, too, that people see an ad, and they don't necessarily write down what that website is. They're going to type in Morro Bay. And if we've done a good job of optimizing the site, they're going to find us that way. But I would agree, I mean, that print is definitely, as far as newspaper print, I mean, that's why every newspaper in the world is putting all of their efforts into the website.
That's
because
right.
They know that someday that print is probably going to go away.
Right.
And the ones that we did select, I feel very comfortable that we will get results from these because we've been in them before. We didn't really experiment with anybody in the print side of it. And what we're doing with like Sunset Magazine, we're on some of that print media, quite a bit of that print media, we're on their websites as well. So it's sort of a complimentary buy to be in both. And a lot of times when you run print, again, because they're trying to facilitate the sales of print, we get a lot of value added that includes us on their websites as well, such as National Geographic Traveler and Frommer's that I mentioned.
John, can you just tell me on these print publications you list on the National Geographic Traveler, regional, California, Arizona, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, you list the states that goes to. Can you just
California, outside of Jack in the Box, gas stations, they print 150,000 of those. Or excuse me, 250,000 of those are printed. Sierra Magazine is a national publication, but again, that's very niche-oriented toward, I think, our group of outdoor enthusiasts. And then as you go down and looking in the Internet, I think pretty much all of that makes sense. I mean, the LA Times is obviously Southern California. But when we do these emails, I think it's important to note that if we do an email with the LA Times, and we've done these before, we can pick. We can say we want Newport Beach. We want adults 55-plus, household income of $125,000. So we can pinpoint exactly what we're buying with that. And because of their circulation so vast, we could even do San Diego. I'm sure there'd be enough emails even down in San Diego with people who read the LA Times. The LA Times is sort of like the Ventura Star. The Ventura Star, you think by the name you're only getting Ventura, but that's the main paper for Thousand Oaks, I mean, that whole valley. So, and that's, you know, that's another one that we could look at out of the contingency fund, that, you know, another area to explore.
Well, I know that just recently we received about 500 labels from 50 and Beyond asking for fulfillments, and that was just this month.
Sitting on the promotions committee, which I know Peter said you'll start giving us this information for our meetings, Travel 50 and Beyond is definitely one that, I mean, I remember seeing it, you know, in hundreds every month, and it would be monthly of fulfillment. So I think, you know, even though it's a national publication, again, it is targeting kind of really what we're wanting. And one thing for us to remember, too, with some of this print, some of our clientele is an older clientele. They, you know, I know there's a lot of our clientele that don't have emails that still read the magazines and still print. And I know we want to, you know, we're moving out of that, but we need to remember who some of our clientele are too. And a lot of them don't have emails and do still read magazines and still are a little old school. Not that we want to put all the money there, but I think we need to remember that a little bit as well.
Well, I think travel publications too, if there's one that still sort of gets preserved, it's probably that one because it's a leisure read, you know, that's very... It's something that you could take some time with, and I think people who get coastal living, there's a specific reason they're getting that. They love the beach. They love the whole aspects of the traveling to the coast. So I think in that sense, that's why we selected the ones we did. But I do think we have a really good representation on the internet side of it, too, to balance that out. In fact, we're spending many more dollars there than we are in print. Just the other categories that I cover real quickly is the what I would suggest with the county CVB or VCB, when they get they have provided us with some co-op information, but we would probably, just as we have a plan here, just put a whole plan together for what we would do with the county. And I would strongly recommend that. I think we can really leverage ourselves there, and I think it shows the support to the county. And I understand that irrespective of what support level you're at, they will let us do co-op. And collateral is an issue that I think probably in this creative review for our next meeting, I'll bring what we've currently have. Peter can help me on that too. And we'll just need to talk about what we want to do. And then on the trade shows, I'll look to your advice on that. There's three shows that I think would be important to go to. And that would be the Sunset Magazine show, which we currently attend, and also the LA Travel Show. And then NTA, which we became a member of. And we need to talk about how we're going to staff those booths. Peter has been doing it in the past, and believe me, he is a great salesman. But however you want to facilitate that. I think NTA, though, we probably need some lodging people there because it's a little more technical than just addressing the public. But as far as other shows... You know, I look to your guidance on that, but I think it's important that we don't get too far away and do ones that aren't going to make sense for us. And I'm sure that some of you have experiences with other shows, perhaps, that you might suggest. But San Diego is another possibility, although if you go to that LA Travel Show, you're pretty much covering San Diego, too.
What does the trade booth look like at the consumer end for the customer?
I can supply you some photos. We take photos at every one of them, so I give you an idea. It's the display that we've had for a number of years, a little obsolete, but it draws people in because it's so massive and it's our rock and it's the ship coming in, and so we basically that's the background, and then we provide whatever material that we feel for that show makes more sense for that, you know, geared to that market.
I think that, Mike, it looks fine, you know, from a distance, as most people are going to come. You know, they're going to be back from it. It's a little tired. It's not embarrassing by any means that it looks drab or anything, but it's really heavy. In that sense, it's a dinosaur. So I would say, you know, Sunset Magazine, we kind of started off the effort there. We started off the effort in Bakersfield Life. Travel 50 and Beyond, we did the fall edition out of the city budget. We didn't do anything in Westways, nothing in travel, in National Geographic Travel or Frommer's coupon guide, and we started off the insertions in Sierra. As you see, those don't pick up till March. So what we tried to do, and this was something that we had talked about with the promotions committee, was they were willing to go ahead and spend more money than they normally would spend, not knowing if the BID wasn't in existence, we would have spread out those dollars more to cover the spring. We see the BID taking that effort over with those dollars. So there, I guarantee there won't be any duplication. It's more or less they're kind of front-loading it, which was a decision by the promotions committee.
Okay, so that refers to the print publications. What about the other areas here?
We did do an LA Times email campaign at the very end, or the very end of July, to kind of kick off that the rest of summer. We haven't done anything in San Jose. Sunset Magazine, website, nothing. So basically, I would say probably just that one email for the LA Times.
And the additional items?
Public relations, there is a little bit of budget there to do the work before we get started. The booking agent, that's something that they're not doing. Event promotions, they're not doing. Co-op with the county, they're not. They do have a little bit of a contingency budget of about $5,000. And the collateral, they have, I believe, a budget of about $5,000 for that. And they have no operating expense.
So their total budget was like around $100,000. Is that what it was?
That was about with the website inclusive. It's about $125,000, I believe.
$130,000. I have a copy of the promotions committee budget here in front of me.
What we did do as a subcommittee, just so you know, the process that we went through. John did the budget presentation last time we were in meeting. We took that presentation. A preliminary budget presentation. Excuse me. We took that presentation and we overlapped it and did a worksheet and compared and contrasted what was going on with the community promotions, because we did not want to have overlapping or duplicated dollars spent. Because every dollar is so tough to come by for both committees, we didn't want to see that happen. So we did a compare and contrast and went through and then went back and had a long series of questions for poor John. He was very gracious to go back through and refine and answer all those questions for us. And then in addition to that, he came forward and we had additional meetings and additional time spent after he answered those questions, narrowing down and focusing towards what we're at now, coming up with a larger contingency so that we could do some of these fire sale items, really refining when we would want to spend those advertising dollars, peak season, shoulder season, what publications we wanted to see them in, and then discussing the possibility of opening up new markets. So as a subcommittee, there was a whole series of, a whole series of informations that were exchanged to kind of get it down to where this could be even forwarded to all of you for further information. Wouldn't you say that's a fair description of what we went through?
Yeah.
I think also with the dynamics of how things have changed over the years with the, you know, going back to school early, because I can remember, and I'm sure you all remember, when August used to just be the greatest month ever, and it went all the way through till Labor Day. But now the kids go back to school in the middle of August, and week prior to that, they get ready to go to school. And so we've started, in the old days, we probably wouldn't even start this budget till probably December, but we've started finding ourselves starting it earlier and earlier for two reasons. One, because of the dynamic I just mentioned, but also we needed the help sooner. It just seemed like we just couldn't wait, and I think that's been true for now too. I think we all had a fairly decent summer, but I think the test is going to come when we get through and get into the fall.
We are in the summer in our peak season. We are a family destination also, and that school not being closed.
So that might be an opportunity to target, you know, with some packages and things like that, you know, some of that people during that time, because they've got the time to really do a serious vacation.
Also, with the spring break being 2 weeks, it's extended to 2 weeks now. And,
right.
You know, I've read in the Valley newspapers what they're really trying to do is get the kids out of the heat in the summer. They're trying to reduce summer because they have so much heat stroke problems with the kids that they want to reduce it and have them in the air-conditioned schools. So
I think we could, you know, have creative playing upon tired of hearing your child say, I'm bored. Because anybody that's had kids has certainly heard that during those long periods. So that's another, you know, little mini opportunity we might think about, you know, for that December month.
Another point, too, is I think we've had a lot more schools that have went yearly. Mm-hmm. So when you've got those yearly, then you've got year-round school, and that's becoming more and more popular down in the L.A. areas, in the bigger metropolitan areas. So that's just something else to point out, too.
But I should stress that, and it's true, where we are very much a family vacation destination, in the off-season we are really trying to target that empty nester, somebody whose kids are grown, that they can come midweek, they can come in the off-season when we really need them badly.
Well, are there any other questions for John regarding the spreadsheet or any of his presentations right now?
Yeah, I did have just to clean up some notes from the last meeting. I don't know if there's a competitor to JackRabbit, but there's, we've used them before in the county. It doesn't necessarily mean.
No, absolutely. I mean, I just picked them because that we probably ought to take a look at somebody else as well.
And how would you go about researching that? Or
yeah, I can do that.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that
what I'll do is I'll look because they certainly don't have everybody. I mean, I know Santa Barbara doesn't use them in Monterey, so I could probably just call one of those CVBs and ask them who they're using and how they.
Second thing is that from the last meeting, there was some concern over this the budget number, the dollar amount, and the shortfall in sales, and if that's reflected properly in the budget number. Did the committee give any thought to that, or is it subcommittee rather?
We did give a lot of thought to that and reduced some of the numbers down, some of the soft and hard numbers down, so that we could pull a larger contingency in and have that area be kind of a buffer for what may or may not happen economically for us as a BID or as a city, and then also to have a larger number there, hopefully, when everything comes through, to be able to take advantage of some of the advertising opportunities that might come forward within the year.
And then I was looking for an 8-year trend on occupancy and rate by month. And Andrew, do I need to call somebody on that? Or
no, we're going to be bringing that back to you at your regular meeting.
At the regular meeting. Okay.
So, yeah, I think that that's really one reason why that large contingency fund's there, is to kind of see how we do. And then also just to keep in mind that, this is a full picture all the way through June. So 50% of this money would not be spent, for the next 6 months. So we would make no commitments that we could not get out of beyond, a couple of months.
Okay. Well, that just because, if we do track according to national trends and we're down 20%, the 479, 20% of that is about the contingency. So we've left we've pre-spent everything and don't have any money left in case we decide to throw some money at the Christmas break season or something like that. Just so that's on the table and that's understood.
Which I think originally when we had the original budget, we added about 50,000. Now we're at 93. We almost got to 100,000 on the contingency, you'll see, which our original budget he gave us, I think, was at like 40 or something. I don't have it here in front of me. So we really tried. It was hard to figure out what to cut and where to go. One thing, John, I noticed, I had this yesterday, so I had a little time to look it over. I noticed with Travel 50 and Beyond, we're in there just spring and summer with full pages, and I don't know, this might be a board discussion, but what about going in there 4 times a year and doing a half a page?
Well, we actually, the city has taken the other part. So
that answers that.
Here, I have a suggestion, just relative to, maybe you might want to look at the budget this way. Why not look at a fall and spring budget? And you could approve the fall budget and then have a review for the spring budget when I come to you and say, hey, I need to start considering placing these. Pismo Beach does it that way.
That's a great idea.
And that might be a really good way to facilitate that. Sort of that as it is now. But if you would prefer, I could separate it out to where we looked at a fall and spring budget. And then when we could set a date for the board to approve the spring budget. The only downside to that is, I just have to play devil's advocate, is that I would hope that we wouldn't change it, because I would try to make deals knowing that we had that kind of frequency. So in other words, if I go to Travel 50 and Beyond.
That is, I don't want to restrain it.
Well, can we have our cake and eat it too and just take the ones that are, it seems as if most of these are tried and true, so there's really no reason to not go out and get your best deal, commit to a year. But some of them, like Coastal Living, which we've not necessarily tried here, maybe we should look. Have we done coastal living here?
Mm-hmm.
We have.
I think that what I could do is and
I mean, there's nothing.
I can give you the assurances that this budget is separated out enough to where if we get into real serious trouble, we can correct this pretty quickly. And because of the long relationship that I have with the media, but also with Morro Bay has, and the hotels that advertise with a lot of these publications, if we come to them and we say, you know what, we thought we were going to have these funds, we're going to need to cancel whatever, you know, our winners, we're not going to get short rated, I guarantee you. If that would have to happen, most of the publications, they're not going to, you know, lose a battle. I mean, win a battle, lose the war. I mean, we're not going to give them any business in the future if they do that to us. So the whole idea, like the only ones that really still do that, and wouldn't you know it's the ones that are going by the wayside, is the newspapers.
Right.
They're the only ones that still stick you if you don't mm-hmm. make the contract. But these publications, for the most part, we probably could negotiate our way out if we had to.
Yeah, and let me say that as a subcommittee, we took being conservative very, very seriously. So, like I said, we opened that door, we looked into it, and, you know, we did all kinds of cross sheets and spreadsheets and analysis and this page and that email. I mean, we really beat it to death. So I think that putting this together, we looked at this yesterday and finally said, okay, this is pretty much the direction that we've beat this dead horse to. This is pretty much where we want to go. And, you know, it is a conservative figure keeping a lot back in contingency, or what we feel is to be sufficient amounts back in contingency, wouldn't you say so, to be able to be a little flexible or to have some kind of permeable way of getting in later on some of these fire sales that might happen. But I feel confident in saying, let's approve the budget for the year. I feel confident in saying that. So I would be willing, from one of you, to hear a motion to approve that budget.
Chair Solo, before you go there, I'll just remind the board that that you will be getting the TOT numbers and the amount that's coming in with the T-bid on a monthly basis. So believe me, if the city sees something that's going, you know, wildly astray, as well as you're going to know if something's going wildly astray, you can make your corrections or changes at any time. So I think you've built in, as Chair Solo has said, you've built in some safeguards here, especially with your 93,000 contingency. It's a very smart thing to do. And I actually had a couple council members that had questioned exactly how much you were budgeting. So I think you've done a very good job in that. And I think we're all going to be watching it very, very closely, especially based on the economic conditions of the world.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be anybody out there in this city who's a stakeholder or who sits on council who's not going to have a hawk eye on this process. So I have a feeling that we will be going grossly over what comes in our future. I think that, you know, we did discuss the fact that TOT will come in and the BID figures will come in monthly, and we will have a good handle on what's happening and what our future is going to be. And so, I feel very confident with what we're putting forward here. And so if I can get back to what I might love to hear, would be a motion to approve this budget.
Before I do that, do you think we were too conservative in this? Because, you know, some of the... You have to reach a balance, and when you go out and you do everything that you've done before, just about, you don't necessarily, like, for instance, there's a pretty big wine industry in our county, and we don't reflect any advertising or anything directed towards that. That's just one example. There's a pretty big ag tourism movement, and we've seen lots of packages being developed by other hotels that take advantage of that. And there's,
I think you're going to hit those people with Coastal Living and Sunset. I think that we have some travel website, you know, like the LA Times. But again, that contingency fund is where I would see that money being appropriated toward. You know?
So you're saying the audience is correct. So we could attract those particular industries through the offer or through the creative?
I think so, but also I think as we got along and Yeah, because if, I mean, well, again, we'll have this creative review, but we focus on wine and pretty much all the ads that we do. But I think the contingency budget, as we move forward, I mean, I could see us spending some dollars possibly on
revisit this thing anytime.
And you know, Mike, I think we could probably hit some of that wine with co-op with the county too. And we've got, you know, $20,000 budgeted there. I mean, I think that we could eyeball some of the stuff they're going to do with the wine. I know wine, they're going to have a big wine month in September, and they're trying to lure Sunset Magazine actually here for the county to do like a kind of an Aspen food and wine show. Track 5,000 people, and they're in the process of trying to put that together. So I can, you know, I guarantee you, we're all going to want to be on board with that. So.
We also talked about golf. How do we get the golfers down from Pebble Beach and up from Torrey Pines, since we are one of only three or four golf courses in California that sits at the water's edge? And we talked about how do we get those people here and with these incredible views and what we have, and how do we get the golf courses to be more well-known. And so those are markets that we want to go after with that contingency money. And I think also we talked about working with the county to, you know, get that moving.
And I'm hopeful that we'll do that. In fact, I know we can do that with PR, too. I think we can certainly – that we've got a great story to tell with the golf course. We've got a great story to tell with wine, too. And I think those are areas we might leverage our – budget out and our exposure out with PR in that realm too.
My last question, I promise. On like trade shows and public outreach, we've allocated $15,000, but the chamber's already going to two of those, right? So it would just be NTA, actually. Is your recommendation?
That figure is really that you can almost look at that as another contingency fund, frankly, because I don't really know how we're going to spend that 15. I just put it there because I thought if we wanted to run in the program, perhaps, you know, for the LA travel show, I don't know how you facilitate the expenses, you know, for somebody to go. Is NTA's back east, right?
I don't know where it is this year.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was over in Nevada and Vegas. I thought
it's in Reno.
Reno. Okay, I thought it was Nevada.
And that could also be, you know, if you wanted to look at doing a new booth. But I see that category, frankly, as really a contingency because I don't have a proposal for how you'd spend all $15,000.
Okay.
I think there, as a matter of fact, I think their convention is coming up in October or November in NTA's.
I think it's November in Reno. But I don't know when the LA show is.
February.
That's February. Okay.
So I think we still probably have some further discussion on the trade shows, how we're going to handle those.
So is it the $93,000 here, is that the contingency money? That's the only thing that's like sitting out there waiting to be spent on something?
And well, I think collateral. I mean, I'm not sure. We haven't really judged whether we need what we need in the area of collateral.
Event promotions as well.
And the trade shows would be another one. I mean, there's a lot. That's why I'm not really fearful of placing this, because I see a lot of these categories as really uncommitted right now. But important to earmark some money for those in case you do want to do something there. But that it's a pretty fluid budget in the sense that, you know, the board might just decide, you know what, we only need $3,000 for trade shows. Let's take this other money and let's run some wine publications, or let's run in some golf publications. So I kind of see those as little contingency budgets too.
The event promotions, if you look at that $12,000, we don't know where we're promoting events yet. So I mean, some of these additional items, I mean, the PR is pretty much said for, your booking agent is spent for, that's about it. Everything else that's in those additional items would be things that would come back to us for discussion on what we're going to do for collateral, what we're going to do for these things. So,
I think the event category is probably one worth mentioning too, because I think that can actually help you, because what we wanted to do is come up with a set budget toward events. And this is something that, of course, I can advise you on, but the board will have to decide the criteria. But I think everybody was pretty comfortable that you're not going to support an event unless it's going to result in overnight stays, because that's fulfilling the charge of the stakeholders. So if somebody has an event that doesn't look, you know, it's a 1-2 hour event that's not going to require anybody to stay, but if you look at something like the photography festival that's scheduled for a 3-day or 4-day event, and they come to you and want some support money, then you have that budget set aside. But you also can – you tap out of that at $12,000. So, I mean, when you're done, you're done, I mean, as far as supporting events. But the other part of that, too, is what I would recommend is that when people come and ask you – and I saw this happen in the city of San Luis Obispo quite frequently – is you might want to place the advertising for them. In other words, you don't necessarily give – write a check to somebody for $2,000 to facilitate management or – whatever they're doing, you'll say, we'll run $2,000 worth of ads for you with our creative and our branding statement, and it'll still, the same need will be achieved, but you control it, rather than just simply hand somebody a check for $10,000 and not, you know, I'm sure you wouldn't do that, but not know where it went. They prefer the check, believe me, as being on
a... We get started on this, though.
And I'm happy to, you know, spend some time. We can go through. I can, you know, go through a little more detail, show you the magazines, and we can talk a little bit more about it and talk.
Yeah, the other,
if you'd like that.
And how does the creative work, John? Once we've approved the budget, how do we?
Well, I'm going to be bringing on the 20th. As I talked about, we're going to have like a little creative review, but I'm going to have some new concepts and would look for your approval to move ahead with those. So you'll be approving the creative prior to it going in the publications.
Okay.
I think we really wanted to try, you know, John was saying he's upon a lot of deadlines to be going in the fall right now, and so we really wanted to try to get this going so we can get some ads going for
winter.
You know, winter's right around the corner, and we need help.
And the deadlines are really relative more to space than creative, so, you know, we'll still have time to look at the ads on the 20th. And we have a fairly a good bank of things that we've done in the past, but I just think everybody just needs to see those.
Okay. There's a motion on the table.
Was there a second?
There was. Is there any more discussion? Okay, then let's take a call here. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Opposed.
Showing one opposed to adopting the budget. But the motion passes. Okay. Thank you very much. And let me look to Andrea to make sure that there is nothing else for discussion. What we had on our agenda was just the discussion and approval of a budget. And so with that, I would look for a motion from one of my colleagues to adjourn.
Do we, since this is, if I could just get clarification, this was a special meeting, right?
That's correct. This was a special meeting.
And that means this does not occur again, or does it need an agenda items for next time, or we're done with it?
I believe we have agenda items, quite a large agenda for the next time. We have a presentation from Jackrabbit, if I recall, and
you have quite a large agenda.
Yeah, we do. Okay. We have a big agenda.
So we're good. So this is it. Great.
Right, and we can set an agenda if we need to, as discussed, for a special meeting 2 weeks out from that on the 20th. Is that correct?
You can have another special meeting if you.
Right, but we don't have to decide that till after our primary meeting.
Or during the 20th meeting, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Exactly. Perfect.
Then I second it.
Oh, you? Well, I can't make the motion, somebody. I need the motion.
I make a motion to adjourn.
And I second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. There we go. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, which place do you have? Where do you come in? French tree. Oh, that's a nice place. Yeah, that's good.